Congratulations. Welcome to the 95th Oscars. You made it. You made it. Congratulations. I know that being here tonight is a dream come true for most of the people in this room. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of it, especially this year when the world finally got out of the house to see the films you worked so hard to make the way you intended them to be seen in a theater. And I also want to say that I am happy to see that Nicole Kidman has finally been released from that abandoned AMC where she has been held captive for almost 2 full years now. It's good to have you back, Nicole. And thank you for encouraging people who were already at the movie theater to go to the movie theater. The movie that saved the movies. Everyone loved Top Gun, everybody. I mean, Tom Cruise with his shirt off in that beach football scene, L. Ron Hubba Hubba, you know what I'm saying? You know, Tom and James Cameron didn't show up tonight. The two guys who insisted we go to the theater didn't come to the theater.
It's the 95th Academy Awards. It's the 10th annual Mad About Movies Oscars postgame show. It's one of my favorite things we do every year. I hope it's yours as well, listener. So welcome in. I'm Kent, joined by Brian and Richard. Richard's pulling up late for us tonight. He's got to stay up late, get up early, do that whole thing. So, running on the low energy, but it's the Oscars time, you know?
You got it, man.
Show must go on, man, right?
Yeah. Me and Guillermo did some tequila shots. I'm ready to go.
Well, James Jimmy Kimmel is back in the hosting chair for this one and delivered the monologue that I think we all expected. The only slaps that occurred tonight was a Rihanna's performance, guys. You know what I'm saying?
Got him, Yahtzee. Perfect.
I thought it was a pretty standard ceremony. My wife and I watching it together, I think midway through watching with it, I turned to her and was like, this is, feel like going pretty smoothly, pretty efficiently. It felt like it was well paced for a while. Totally. They were getting along with it, not doing a ton of stop down type things and kind of letting the show happen. So I appreciated
doing all
23
that. Awards, 340 is not bad. I mean, I know it seems stupid to say, but
on that note, what was your thought? Richard, we'll start with you. On the overall structure this year of the Oscars, do you feel like they got it right? Because every year we come on here saying, oh, they should have aired this award. They should have nixed this award.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they've gotten it right?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think they did a good job. I think the Kimmel, I think those producers do a good job. His comedy style is kind of keeps it moving, which is great for this kind of show. He's funny, but he's just kind of joke, which is great. It kind of sets up the momentum of the show. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of sketch bits or like musical numbers or anything. So it lends itself really well. I liked that they did every award and I loved his joke about the movie community is really excited that we're doing every award and the television community is really upset, but you know what? We sat through all these movies, so you can deal with it. Mm-hmm. That was really funny and good. I think, yeah, that's great. I don't understand why I know it's like time zones and stuff, but like we're in Central Time for those listening. So I'm going to use Central Time. Like you feel free to start this at 6:30. It's Sunday.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't know why it has to have this. Like I know West Coast,
8 p.m.
that's 4:30
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that stupid, East like Coast. It's a primetime ratings thing, you know, trying to get those points for advertisers. But I mean, it's 2023. We're in the streaming world now. Like, does that matter that much? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can we not just bump this? I'm not saying an hour, 30 minutes. And I know that starts at 4:30 in LA, but that's also, it starts at 5 in LA. So what's the difference? Like, who cares?
Yeah, Brian, any thoughts on the overall structure?
Thought it was a great show overall. Like, Kimmel's great. He's perfect for this stuff. I think we were all on board with the concept of the the hostless show and then the three host thing, and that just like the execution of those things didn't work out so well.
I was not on board. I'm pro host.
Okay.
Professional host too. That's what's great about Kimmel. He's a host for a living. Yeah. So that's always nice.
Right, right. At the very least, like,
it would have been cool if Fallon got out there and dumped some slime on people, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, I understood the concept of why they tried those things, but, like, I think the truth of it is just is the show runs smoother when you have somebody up there who really, truly understands the beats of hosting a program like that. Like, sometimes it's bad jokes and sometimes it's bad bits, and those are the things that kind of sabotage, you know, Neil Patrick Harris or Schumer or whoever else. But also, I think it just helps to have somebody who knows what they're doing just from a pure hosting standpoint. And Kimmel might be the best at it, honestly. I mean, the flow is perfect. He and who, I know he's not writing every joke and everything, but like he and whoever puts the jokes together did a great job, I think, of having like biting jokes with kind of dumb dad jokes. He also does just a great job of selling every joke. So even when it's a bad one, he had one or two, I can't remember. There was one in particular that you could tell he knew this was a bad joke, like it wasn't going to land, and he sold the not landing really well. Yeah, it flowed very well. I mean, it was a long, what did we end up at? Over 3 hours, 45 minutes, something like that. 3.5 hours anyway. But it didn't feel over long to me. Like it felt like we know now you can't relegate some of these awards to the pregame or whatever. I also felt like the commercial breaks were pretty short, and maybe the smartest thing was most of the awards they did two or three at a time instead of here's award break, here's award break.
Love that.
The montages were good. I like having the montages back, but it was smart to keep them to, you know, 15 seconds or something for each movie. Mm-hmm. There weren't any time wasting bits. Like he had that one audience work thing that he did with Malala and a couple of others, but all
of that.
Yeah, but that
I was there just for the dig at Matt Damon during that. Yeah, that was the entire point of that.
I thought he was going to be in the bear. I really did.
I did. They were setting that up when he was going to pop out of that bear, right?
That was what the bit was going to be. But regardless, the only reason they did that is because they had to set up stage for Rihanna's performance. Yeah. And so you had to take. So, like, I think that is a huge key. Don't do any stupid bits. Just do the awards. Have somebody up there who knows what he's doing. Get beautiful people for every single award. Like, kudos to whoever selected the presenters. Yeah, like every single person. Yeah, every single person on stage today was one of the most beautiful people in the world. And
also,
it rolled. It rolled at a pretty good rate.
It, especially on this Oscars, and you never know year to year what it's going to be. But like Kimmel is maybe the most famous person in that room for this Oscars, right? And that's great. I mean, it's great that so many like emerging or less known people would win. But like,
no Pitt, no Clooney, no Cruz,
right? You know what I mean? Like, there's some years where the best supporting actor is, you know, Jack Nicholson, and there's some years where it's Ke-Huy Quan. You just have a professional host there just in case. That's great. That's awesome that these kind of like, not necessarily emerging, but like less A-list celebrities are winning these awards because they're deserving performances. But like at that kind of Oscars, you need to have a Kimmel more than ever, because it's like everyone's like, oh yeah, I know this guy. I see him every night. He's in the news all the time.
Because, very true.
You know, when like literally Q rating wise of the big four acting awards, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis, because of Activia, might have the biggest recent mass audience appeal. You know what I mean?
Because of Activia?
And that's about poop yogurt.
I think because of, Halloween.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, the last couple of years. But I'm saying pre-2018, she's the poop yogurt lady, which we all should want to be.
And that's true.
So I'm saying you need a Kimmel for this awards. But some years you get lucky. You can probably pull off the no host Oscars when it's just like a murderer's row of A-listers in the awards. But, you know, you can't count on that.
There's a couple more things I want to get to about the ceremony before we'll get to the awards, recap our thoughts, whether they got it right or wrong, of course. But a little bit of changes with the Oscars. I mean, with the acting awards, how they did little montages instead of just doing a clip of the awards, I thought that was different. What did you think about stopping down the Oscars to show a Little Mermaid trailer? That was
ABC.
Disney, ABC like, flexing their muscle on, hey, this is our show more than I've ever seen it, maybe. And they compensated that for, I think, putting that Warner Brothers tribute in there for 100 years of Warner Brothers, so it didn't look like full-on Disney hour or 4 hours, 5 hours, or whatever it was. Like, man, this is a... Throw Pedro Pascal in there for some Mandalorian. Yeah, it was a very, very ABC, Disney-heavy affair. That's to be expected. No tables this year. Back to the theater. Yeah. I don't know if that's a COVID thing. I don't know if people were a little sauced up and the slap happened last year. They regretted that. I liked the marquees that had the names of the
good stage
presenters good stage. And the winners up there that looked like the old school marquees. I like that. I like the Kodak Theater and what they do with it. We are probably the biggest, you know, the minority of the niche of the audience that this is aimed at. Like, we are the audience that this is aimed at. People like us who do these podcasts, who listen to these every day, that those types of people. When I don't care about documentary short or animated short, or, I mean, this is me. Throw best editing in there. We don't need to air that one either. That one's fine.
I think they just got so much flack for it last year that
it's fine.
There's got to be there's an algorithm somewhere in there where they say, the time that we're spending on this is worth X amount of, or that we're not spending on this is worth X amount of pushback, and we got more pushback than what we can. Okay, let's just go back to putting these all on the thing. I mean, it's fine. It's 10 extra minutes, you know.
I guess that to me is where the show drags. I liked how they combined best sound mixing and best sound editing, though, into just best sound now.
Anymore,
so we don't have to explain it. Don't get to explain it. What do you mean?
I wish we could add Hugh Grant and Andy McDowell do that one instead of production design.
That's true.
So we can explain it to Hugh Grant. By the way, how late into the night did it get until Hugh Grant hit on Andy McDowell's hot daughters? You think he let it get to? Think he's letting it get to 10 or 9:30? I think he'll probably.
I aspire to not care as much as that guy does not care. It's impressive.
Did you see his red carpet?
I caught just the very tail end of it when he was no idea.
Like, what was your favorite movie? Oh, I didn't see any of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolute God status, man. That guy's the GOAT. They should let him host next year with no script.
Yeah, just talk about unpredictable.
Here's the 14 categories, figure it out, Hugh, and just let him stammer and like insult everyone accidentally. It'd be the best Oscars ever.
I'm in. Okay, let's get to the awards here, Brian.
I think in the interest of time, we should. Do you want to just do like the biggest ones?
So we're saying some of these aren't necessary. Is what we're saying.
I mean, if you want to go 3.5
let's
hours,
start with the biggest one. International feature. Go.
Okay.
It's 10 extra minutes, Brian. Come on.
Screenplay awards. The original screenplay went to Everything Everywhere All at Once, and adapted screenplay, I think in a surprise, went to Women Talking.
That was it.
At that point, it had been building towards this is All Quiet on the Western Front versus Everything Everywhere All at Once for Best Picture. And then you get that back to back, and it was like, oh, okay, so this is definitely Everything Everywhere All at Once is going to win Best Picture, because that just Women Talking just snuck in and took All Quiet on the Western Fronts. But any thoughts on those the screenwriting awards, Richard?
Man, that Banshee screenplay is pretty awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah,
so good. Watch it again today, this morning. Yeah, so good.
The momentum of that, I mean, I think we kind of knew that one on original would be Everything Everywhere All at Once, so I wasn't like aghast, but man, that one, I could see that aging. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once will age great as a Best Picture nominee, or pardon me, winner. But I can see it's gonna play.
Spoilers.
Just kidding. Me. Just all kidding. The people listening to this without having seen it. but on the adapted, I don't know. It just should have been Top Gun. That one line where they were like, Tom Cruise was like, That was pretty sick in the script.
Yeah, just for the intro of his character alone, maybe the most MacGruber scene in the movie probably deserved.
That's hilarious that was nominated for a screenplay. I mean, it should have been nominated for every other award, including the acting awards, and it's a shame.
Yeah,
but screenplay is absolutely hilarious that it got that one. That is not a movie that exists on paper whatsoever.
Here's the thing about Everything Everywhere, and obviously had a great night, did really well, won basically every award it was up for, I think. I thought it was too weird for the Academy, so I didn't pick it for a lot of awards. Some bigger ones I did, but, you know, awards like original screenplay, I just thought, how is this going to translate onto a page? Apparently great.
Yeah,
because I knew Banshees, you know, movies like Women Talking would translate well onto the page. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know about that one. Obviously, the Academy loved Everything Everywhere. I didn't predict that at all.
Yeah, Hot Dog Fingers are in. Yeah,
it's not just that. I mean, there's a lot in that movie.
No, I mean, totally.
Jamie Lee Curtis's entire character, we'll get there, but that is an incredible win. Never would have predicted that.
Yeah, it was rolling at that point too. Yeah, Martin McDonagh, I feel like in 50 years, we're going to look back and I think it's going to be similar to almost like Gary Oldman. We're like, gosh, that guy's been so great in so many movies and he has one Oscar. Okay. Well, I think that's going to be the same with McDonagh's.
Was it too Irish? Because Three Billboards won everything.
I mean, I love that guy. I think he's incredible. I think he might be the best writer in the business. And I think that was probably his best script. And I mean, good gracious. It's such a good script.
So funny.
I was surprised by. I think it feels like Banshees this year is there's always a victim of the ridiculously long campaign season. And for whatever reason, it feels like Banshees is the one this year that caught the short end of the stick on that. Cause he gets shut out. And I think if the award ceremony is like January 12th or something, it feels like there's a pretty decent chance it has several awards tonight instead of zero, but maybe not. I don't know, but
I don't know. That's a weird one to me that it came up basically empty handed.
There's something too about, I'm curious how this affects the business now, because we are now, you know, whatever, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but something like 3 out of the last 4 years or 4 out of the last 5 or something, where the movie that really dominated the night, whether that be winning Best Picture or a lot of awards throughout the night, came out in like May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a new thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens every
I feel like
years.
It was earlier than May, wasn't it? Wasn't it March? It was March. Yeah.
March. But I'm just saying like.
Right.
This time last year.
It used to be, save for a really, really, you know, an exception every 7 years or something, you had to be in that fall release window. And so now you wonder, how do these studios adjust to that and start maybe really saying, you know what, whatever, who cares?
It would be good. I mean, we would love that. I would love that.
Same.
Because I would love to spread out some of these movies and not, and
interesting to see how that affects, because sometimes things get nominated, I think, because of that.
Yes.
You know, people are looking at it through the lens of, this is a movie to be considered for awards, and thus they consider it. And if it's mildly good, they go, yeah, I'm going to give it that. But if that just comes out in May, they're not looking at it through that lens. Does it still get it? And then maybe that opens it up to more other movies that are great that also come out other times of the year.
Right. The flip side of that is there are so many movies that are competing for your attention during that time that you know. I think every year there's probably a movie or two that you could say, yeah, if that comes out in August, it's not getting award nominations right now. And then you can look at a couple of movies and say, man, if that would have come out in August, it might have had a chance. It might have had a chance at some time for people to see it and get it in for nominations and stuff. But yeah, our buddy Sean put this in the Discord tonight. 36 combined nominations for Banshees, Tar, Fablemans, Top Gun Maverick, and Elvis, and they got one win between all those movies. So it was not a night that spread the love around much at all. You know, it was a lot of All Quiet and Everything Everywhere All at Once. But anyway, Banshees would have been, I think the script for Everything Everywhere is great, but Banshees would have been my pick here. But you know, it is what it is. Visual effects, the winner was Avatar, The Way of Water. I don't think that was a huge surprise. I'm just going to rattle off a few of these, and if you guys want to jump in at any point. Sure. Let's
I want to jump in right now on bigger loser of the night, Avatar or Top Gun Maverick? Because I thought both of them obviously had a huge conglomerate of people wanting them to win everything, best picture, all that, maybe the two most popular movies of the year. And I think they each won one thing, best sound and best visual effects.
Yep. The only multiple winners were everything with seven, Western Front with four, and The Whale with two. Mm. Everything else just won one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I'm going to say Avatar, bigger loser.
Yeah. I mean, either I'm a little Tom surprised that Top Gun didn't get more,
up,
so I guess.
You got to show up to get your award, man.
That's true. That's true. Kimmel,
that was a great line by Kimmel.
It's a good bit. Yeah.
The two guys that say we always have to go to the theater are not at the theater.
I like it. It's good stuff. Sound. Now one category, Kent. It went to Top Gun Maverick. Felt like that was an easy win there.
That one, to me, when I was filling out my ballot, was such a toss-up between All Quiet on the Western Front and Top Gun. Yeah, I went with Top Gun just because of the jets and the, I don't know, I just went with my instinct, jets. I guess. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They just took a podcast mic and put it up to a jet. That's how they got the sound.
Well, got a road podcaster up there. Uh-huh. And, it was perfect. Yeah. Production design, All Quiet on the Western Front, over such films as Avatar, Babylon, Elvis, Fablemans. All Quiet.
I think I picked really well. Babylon for this one. I thought it might have a chance at original score, production design, you know, costume, that kind of stuff. Wasn't the case.
Babylon did not do well. Did not do well tonight or with anything else.
Made a ton of money, though, so there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Crush also a good way. Kimmel joke. I don't know if you were in yet for that, Richard, but Kimmel said one of the other differences between movies and TV is that the movies, you can lose $100 million and still be here. Like, where's the Babylon table? Oh, it was pretty rough. It was a good bit. Music, original song went to Natu Natu from RRR. Had the best, one of the better moments of the night too, with the dance number and the Tollywood thing. It was awesome. Yeah. It was a cool thing. What did you guys think about having the songs in the show? It feels like that's the debate every single year.
I just think, man.
As long as Rihanna is doing a song, we're good.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. When it's Rihanna and Lady Gaga, you have them perform. And when it's like Richard, Brian, and Kent's folk trio, you just say, guys, we're going to give this money this time to some speeches this year. You know what I mean? Like, I am totally fine with them making that a year-to-year call.
Yeah.
Because it's a television show.
Yeah.
And if you have a chance to put Lady Gaga or Rihanna on television, I think that's a great thing to do. But if it's not, if it's Santana and Rob Thomas are nominated for whatever reason, then, you know, you just say, guys, hope you win, but Jimmy's got six more jokes he wants to tell, and we're going to do that. And that's
the Rob Thomas biopic.
Yeah.
Mad Season is so good.
Need that as a Broadway musical.
yeah, that's surprising. He hasn't done, there's not a jukebox Rob Thomas musical yet.
Yeah.
We should write it.
Rob Thomas musical.
It's a hot one.
I was gonna say biopic, but let's go full musical. Yeah.
Yeah. Jukebox, you know, the stuff tourists go see. It's actually you're like, what theater is it in on Broadway? And you're like, it's actually playing in the M&M store. You can just two birds it. You go into the M&M store.
It's actually at the little stage in the waiting area of the Red Lobster. Minute.
Yeah. Well, it's a hot one. And then you just enjoy.
I'm dead. Yeah, it was overall not an overall strong year for original songs, I would say.
Yeah,
it
wasn't the songs were that great, but the stars were. So just let them sing.
Sure.
Yeah, that song's great, and it was cool to see the performance. I think that was a highlight of the night. Rihanna was great always. Look, Lady Gaga's great. That was terrible. It was a terrible performance, and the staging where it felt like the cameraman's entire job was to get inside of Lady Gaga's nose.
Oh, Gaga's performance? I thought she sounded awesome, but I hated the zoom in on the
my
face
sound
thing.
My sound was good too, Brian. I thought she sounded great.
All right. Yeah, I did not disagree
with you. I'm just surprised. But yeah, it was super. Yeah, she looked like she was cleaning out the garage.
Yeah, it was a rough time.
Yeah, and David Byrne needs to retire the Britney Spears mic bit.
That was awful too.
ASAP.
Oh, God.
Please stop, dude. I love you. I love the Talking Heads, but stop it.
Yeah. That was a tough one. Music original score. Also, this one went to All Quiet on the Western Front over Babylon, Banshees, Everything Everywhere, and Fablemans.
Great tweet on that someone had, but I thought it was quiet.
Yes. Yes. I love that score. I thought it was one of the best scores I've heard in a long time, at least in terms of effective within the movie. Like, it really drove that movie pretty perfectly, I felt like.
Agreed.
Makeup and hairstyling went to The Whale. Apparently this is all digital. I didn't know that. I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been a little uproar over that, but maybe I misunderstood what the concept was. Also, I hated that movie, so there's that. International feature film surprisingly went to All Quiet on the Western Front. Editing, Everything Everywhere All at Once. That one felt like a Banshees or Top Gun Maverick spot as well, but I guess not. Let's see. What am I missing here besides the big ones? We did sound. We did visual effects. I guess
animated?
We can do animated. Animated was... This was a good year. This is a good year for animated films. And it was a bad year for Disney Pixar. So it's an interesting combo of those two things. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio won over Marcel Lachelle with Shoes On, Puss in Boots, Last Wish, The Sea Beast, which I never got around to, and Turning Red. So Pixar got kind of the obligatory spot there, but I thought Pinocchio, Marcel Lachelle, and Puss in Boots 2 were all pretty great, like bunched up. They were all right at the tail end of my top 10 for this year, but Pinocchio, just from an animation achievement standpoint, I mean, I totally get why Pinocchio ends up being the winner there. But
all got three the twofer. It's got stop motion and Guillermo, so
yeah,
Academy's gonna lean that way. It's so funny. The producer was up there giving the acceptance speech, and Guillermo was standing behind him. And I turned to my wife and I said, "Animation is cinema." And then Guillermo walked up. The first words out of his mouth was, "Animation is cinema." I was like, what? It was very weird.
It's good. He's a funny dude, man.
He's a treasure. I love that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't always love his movies. I loved Pinocchio. I thought it was pretty great.
I love Guillermo talking about movies, making movies. Yeah. I don't always love his aesthetics and stuff, but put him as like a DVD commentary track on everything. I love his perspective.
Yeah. Especially when it's about fish sex, you were saying offline.
Yeah, you're always on that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said it before that movie came out.
Yeah, yeah.
You were just like, we were hanging out watching Pan's Labyrinth, and you're like, I want to hear this.
How biased is it that Shape of Water can win Best Picture and Way of Water just zero awards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's
Hollywood hates
way more fish sex than Way of Water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but it's not as sexy.
I disagree.
Let's pull up Kent's Plex stats real fast.
I could make a really bad joke, but Brian, go ahead and go on to the next award.
Costume design, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I think this is where you probably knew Elvis is getting shut out. Like, Elvis is in trouble once we'd run off a few L's in a row here. So... but I thought the costume design of Black Panther was great, but I also get a check every month from Bob Iger. So, what do I know on that front? All right. By the way, there's no way Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris is a real movie. No way that actually came out. But Babylon could have won there as well. That was a tight race. Cinematography, All Quiet on the Western Front triumphs over Elvis, Empire of Light, which no one saw, Tar, and Bardo, which literally no one saw. So... weird year for cinematography. I'm don't totally get how Top Gun's not in this, but that's just me.
Empire of Light, the obligatory Roger Deakins nomination. Yeah. I get that. Yeah, the best movies this year weren't nominated for cinematography, in my opinion.
And Deacon's had that great line about Batman, and he's so mm-hmm. right. Yeah, that definitely should have been.
Okay, let's get into the acting and directing and best picture stuff here. Let's go with supporting. Back to back, we get Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Kei Hui Kwan, excuse me, for Best Supporting Actor, also for Everything Everywhere All at Once. The energy was a little, I don't know. I think everybody was rooting for Kei Hui Kwan. Gosh, sorry. Yeah. That was like, I mean, his speech was great. Everybody was standing ovation. You know, that's like the second award I think they gave out. Standing ovation. Everybody's going nuts. Awesome time. And then Jamie Lee Curtis won, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure you're quite as loved right now. So it was a strange back to back. But that, in hindsight, we should have known at that point. Okay, Everything Everywhere is winning everything, because I'm not sure that Jamie Lee Curtis was the best supporting actress role in her own movie.
It's good to see Chris Guest, though.
Yeah, it was. Make a movie, bud. Try again, I would say, for once. But all right, what do we think about these back-to-back wins?
When Kei Hui Kwan won, his speech just tore me apart. It was so good.
It was awesome.
Just
incredible.
Bawled my eyes out. It was just so everything you want a speech to be in the Oscars. Mm-hmm. You know, just the right person winning the award. And I wonder how the Academy votes. I really do. What they think. And I think everyone that voted thought Barry Keoghan is probably going to be here again. Brendan Gleeson is probably going to be here again. Judd Hirsch has been here, right? Kei Hui Kwan, this is his year. This is his year. Give it to him. And if anyone had won it other than him, it would have felt odd, to be honest with you. Although there were some incredible performances in this category.
Yeah. This is always like one of the toughest categories to pick a winner from and to pare down to the top five. This one felt like it was just such a runaway for sure thing. And look, I love that. I love movie stars and blockbuster movies and being able to depend on this actor is going to be great pretty much in every movie I see him in. But I really love when somebody has just worked at and stuck with their craft for so long without much acclaim and without as many opportunities. So this has been really cool. Not just tonight, but like this whole year of everything that has happened for him and the, I don't know, like the earnestness and enthusiasm that he brings to the stage, and seems really, truly, genuinely thankful for all of this. And it's cool. It's just really cool to see somebody bring that kind of energy to the stage and to his performance and whatnot.
It's just such an interesting, I don't know, situation, because, I mean, here's a guy who was in some of the biggest movies of all time when he started acting, right?
Yeah.
Broke into the games, like, wow, Steven Spielberg movies and doing, you know, he's immediately famous, all this stuff. Probably loved acting, did love acting, wanted to keep doing it. And then the calls just stopped coming, right? And what he was telling about his wife saying, don't worry, stick to it, your time will come again, it was just heartbreaking to me. I mean, it's like the best, like happy tears type and heartbreaking, you know, like, oh my gosh, they just stick with your passion. Basically, if you enjoy doing something, keep doing it. And I felt the same way when Brendan Fraser gave his speech, and here's a guy who loved doing what he did, and the world turned their back on him, right? And here he is again, you know, getting his moment. And so I think that was beautiful.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Richard, on supporting for actor or actress?
I loved his win. Yeah, you're right. Jamie Lee, I would have gone probably two other actresses in that thing above her, maybe four more, maybe 10 more. I don't know. But I like her. I mean, it's one of those where you go, okay, in the macro, it's cool she has an Oscar because she's done a lot of fun work. But yeah. When I watched that movie, I had if you had quartered me outside the theater when we went and see that, to see that and said, in 1 year, Jamie Lee Curtis will have an Oscar for that performance, I would have said, the Oscars aren't for another year. Jeez, why are they having them in March? That's stupid. But then I would have said, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been, definitely would have been Angela Bassett or Carrie Condon for me.
Same.
And then within that movie, Stephanie Hsu, but you know, it wasn't that I thought she, I thought she was really, it was a fun and interesting character. It's just, it's a bit of, for me, this is the only win that Everything Everywhere got on the night where I was like, I'm not totally sold on that, but it's fine. I didn't think it was like completely, it wasn't like if Ana de Armas had won Best Actress or right. something, you know, or like, hey, hold on, what? That was actually terrible. Actress in a leading role, I just mentioned, so we'll go there. Michelle Yeoh wins for Everything Everywhere All at Once over Cate Blanchett, who was really building some steam. I was starting to think it felt like Michelle Yeoh's for the last like 9 months, and then over the last couple of weeks, I was like, oh, I don't know. I think Cate's building to a win here. And then the also rans of Ana de Armas, Andrea Riseborough, for a movie I still haven't seen, that 10-second clip. Worst West Texas accent I've ever heard in my life. I don't. That was strange. That was a strange bit. And Michelle Williams for Fablemans. Michelle Yeoh, Kent. She's the winner here.
Yeah, I thought it could have gone either way, Cate or Michelle. But once the night was going the way it was, there was no way Michelle Yeoh wasn't gonna win that one. So that's the way it went, and well deserved.
Actor in a leading role goes to Brendan Fraser for The Whale over Austin Butler, Elvis, Colin Farrell, Banshees, Paul Mescal, After Sun, and Bill Nighy, Living, a movie that does not exist, and I refuse to believe actually exists. although I love Bill Nighy. He's always great, but there's no way that's a real movie. Okay. Brendan Fraser. Richard, thoughts?
I, like you, did not care for that film particularly. Uh-huh. I do think there's merit to his performance in it, though. I think he was very good. I was perfectly fine with him being nominated. It's good to have him back as someone that I think for our generation was not quite movie star, but certainly movie star adjacent. And he seems like a very lovely fella. So that's fine. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like that movie winning. It's more about that movie winning any Oscars because it's just so like obvious and eye-roily cliche and cringy. His speech was pretty cringy too, so he stuck with the brand there. But yeah, happy for the guy. I know he's gone through some stuff over the last 10 years, and so that's great that he got through it, not that it happened. And
yeah,
but I probably would have gone, I don't know, probably would have gone Farrell.
Yeah,
Will Farrell.
Yes, for the Ryan Reynolds
Christmas. For Spirited.
Yeah.
For Spirited.
A write-in vote.
Write-in vote, yeah.
Yep. Just or for Bewitched.
Outside the theater.
Bring back the Bewitched vote.
Banging a drum and waving.
Spirited was a masterpiece.
Justice for Farrell. Colin? No. Awful. Awful. I
hated Banshees. It was a terrible movie, but have you seen
Irish.
Spirited?
Ugh. Yeah.
It's Spirited's incredible. It's 51 minutes of genius.
Yeah.
Finally, someone made a Christmas Carol. They did their own. Finally. It's their own version.
Finally, throw someone to Charles Dickens. Justice.
I've never seen anyone adapt it. Finally.
But this one, you don't get it. This one has musicals. All right. So,
yeah,
and by the way, no one in it can sing, and that's a brave choice. Anyone can make a musical.
There was a very funny. I think wasn't The Whale supposed to be directed by David Lynch with James Corden starring in it?
Oh my God,
I hope so.
Jesus. Somebody tweeted like, now playing in a multiverse
near you,
the worst movie of all time, you know, something like that, which is a great bit. But
oh my God,
I think Batman Shane summed it up when he was on here a few weeks ago when we were talking nominations, I believe, saying people talk about this performance like Brendan Fraser single-handedly invented acting. So I think that's all you have to say.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I'm rooting for Brendan I really dislike that movie quite a bit, and a lot of it is the Aronofsky effect. I know that, but it looked like a Best Picture nominee from like 2002 that 30 Rock would make fun of later. Like it was painful. So it's a weird place to be in, because I'm like I'm happy that he's coming back and that he has found success and all this sort of stuff, but also have to acknowledge I hate this movie. I didn't think that performance was quite nearly as good as Colin Farrell's. And also that while acknowledging that like anxiety and stress are real things that people have to deal with, and the press tour has been pretty cringy, and the whale puns was a tough sell tonight for me. So, okay. He got it and good on him. I don't know how Colin Farrell doesn't have 40 Oscars at this point, but I guess we'll just keep waiting. Just keep waiting. Directing. We got two more and we can get out of here. Directing, ended up going to The Daniels for Everything Everywhere All at Once over Martin McDonagh, Steven Spielberg, Todd Field, and Ruben Östlund for Triangle of Sadness. At this point, it just felt like kind of a given that it's going to get every award that it can get at that point. I felt like, they deserve it. There's a very well directed movie. Yeah. They did great stuff. I love that movie. I'm not against it at all. It was kind of anticlimactic when they got that. It's like, okay, this is for sure over. There's nothing else that's gonna happen. So.
Yeah, man, this is an interesting one, because this is where I thought the night could go either way. I thought we could have a ceremony that one movie could sweep all the acting awards, but not win Best Picture or Best Director. I really felt that way. I felt maybe all the Banshees people would win the acting awards, but Everything Everywhere could win Best Picture or vice versa. I really felt that way. But to your point, when the Daniels won Best Director, it was clearly their night. But I was like, man, if Spielberg wins this, this could throw a wrench in Best Picture, or, you know, Martin McDonagh, somebody like that. I honestly felt when I was filling out my ballot, like, man, this really could be a year that not one movie sweeps, but we could just have a I don't know, just a random awards or random movies winning random awards. And maybe it's not one movie's night. But it ended up being the opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to lean towards kind of spread the awards around, but it's easy to do that as from a nominating standpoint I tend to like the shows a little better where there are several movies that pick up multiple Oscars instead of one or two that win everything. But, you know, you got to go with what you think is best. But there were like four movies this year that were top of the tops. I mean, I couldn't get upset about any of them. And Everything Everywhere All at Once was in that category for me. So it's easy to accept that one for me, because it ends up winning Best Picture, sort of anticlimactic. All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, Banshees, Elvis, The Fablemans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking were the other nominees. But by that point, we were all pretty dang sure that that Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to be the winner, and it was. Although it would have been a really funny time to be like, oh, and Best Picture is Triangle of Sadness after Everything Everywhere got all of the awards all night long. Would have been a fun bit, but that's why we're not in charge. You know, maybe we would have done a bit, but
when it came to some of the technical awards, though, I really felt like All Quiet on the Western Front had a chance at Best Picture at the end.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't yet nominated for Best Director, and that might have just been an Affleck situation.
Once it had picked up script and
cinematography, it won so much.
Well, once Everything Everywhere All at Once got script and then, and then directing, I was like, okay, this is over. When it won script and Women Talking won the adapted screenplay, I was like, all right, this is probably over at this point. But there was still a part of me that thought there's a chance that Top Gun Maverick ends up coming in and taking this, because everybody saw and loved that movie. It just has such a ridiculously high Q rating that with the way that their voting system works for the Oscars, that it may have ended up winning, you know, one of those kind of weird ranked tier voting things. But anyway.
But when Harrison Ford walked out, you knew it was Everything Everywhere. I did. We're setting up for that K-Hugh Kwan, yeah, Harrison Ford true. Moment.
That's true. Yeah. They should have had him do supporting actor, since that was the most. I mean, I know usually it's how they do that, but that was such a given. That was probably the award of the night. That was just like, there's no chance that anyone else is winning this. So it would have been fun to have them. But I saw them reunite in the crowd and get a big hug and stuff. I love their little friendship that has been reunited lately. It's been cool. It's been cool to see that. But yeah, Everything Everywhere All at Once. The first movie in Oscars history that features hot dog fingers to win Best Picture. So we'll never be able to take
that
away.
Did you see Amadeus?
Oh, the director's
cut. You didn't.
Right.
You did not.
You're right. Yeah.
It's apparent.
Good point. It's a weird movie to win Best Picture, but I love it. I'm thrilled for it. It's good. To me, it is a good thing to have movies like that win Best Picture and win a bunch of awards, and kind of, at least to me, it feels like I know this is a year by year basis and probably something that's super basic Oscar will win next year, but it at least gives the impression of we don't just have to have the same exact kind of movie every time that wins Best Picture.
That's a great point.
Wins different stuff.
Some outliers have won the past few years, it feels like, in terms of mainstream movies.
Yeah.
And it feels like maybe that is a step in the right direction. Great win for A24. I know they pushed this one really hard. It came out last March, so they've been pushing it for basically a year straight, and it's paid off for them. So I think it's a win for indie studios and smaller movies.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm only disappointed I didn't get to see All Quiet on the Western Front in a theater.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
It was cemented to me watching this ceremony. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, I really, really would have been a great one to see in a dark theater, big screen, but yeah, it's the world we live in.
But that was it. Good stuff. A little anticlimactic. Good ceremony. But that's okay. Yeah. Good ceremony. I thought they did a good job with it. Production was
boring
good. Staging was good.
Bad, I will say.
Could have killed it.
This is maybe the worst slate of movies that we've done in 10 years of doing this, right?
I mean, throwing out 2020.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to go back and think about it. Your Green Book one was pretty rough.
But Green Book one, which is a masterpiece, so go ahead and continue your next point.
Yeah.
Finally got a fairly
awesome. I'd have to think about it. I'd have to go back and think. I liked this year quite a bit.
I just don't think the depth was there. The top end's great. Like, Everything Everywhere is great.
Yeah.
Western Front's great. But I just feel like the, like, sixth best movies of the year were really bad this year. We're non-competitive, I should say. Not bad. They were good. But there was never a threat. But that's sometimes how it is.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, there it is. There's the annual Oscars post-game show. We get it out as quickly as we can for you so that you can digest it and move on to the next year. 2023 is upon us. We got movie draft coming up. Part of the movie draft, anyway. So I got to get to finishing my 50 Shades of Grey books and then move on to the movies before I can watch the movie. You know, I got to do all my due diligence.
You're all horned up all the time, too.
And I have, let's just say, there's a adult novelty store that is tired of seeing me.
Classic kid. You in a nutshell, homie.
But anyway, we'll see you next time at the cinema.